States. If you notice, the numbers beside the video kept growing. That's because that's the number of our soldiers, military personnel that are buried at those places. And if you didn't know this, that some of those graves are unmarked because of what happened in the times of war, they didn't know who they were. That's why it would say sometimes in the grave markers, a fellow comrade in arms, known only to God, because they couldn't identify them. But notice that it said on the Arlington National Cemetery, it was 300,000 and counting. I think when we went to Arlington, it was more than that, what they told us when we went. And they have an honor guard of all different branches of military there, because there's always graves being dug there and military funerals occurring there. But this morning, as you remember the fallen, we're going to look to our scriptures this morning. Please turn to Genesis chapter 23. Genesis chapter 23. And look at the subject this morning of honoring the dead. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Begin reading in verse 1. And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjathrabah, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres, bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead. And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, If it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me and entreat for me to Ephron, the son of Zoar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field, for as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, Nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it thee. And the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee. Bury thy dead. And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, But if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me, and I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there. And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury, therefore, thy dead. And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchant. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre the field, and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field that were in all the borders round about were made sure. And to Abraham, for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth, before all that went in at the gate of his city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah his wife in the cave of the field of Machpelah, before Mamre, the same as Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. May remember to honor the fallen and honor the dead today. But most important, Lord, we pray that we would worship you in spirit and in truth and learn much from your word. And ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Honoring the dead. That is the title of the sermon this morning, Honoring the Dead. Today, we honor in our services our fallen military who have paid the price for our physical freedom. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, a day that has been set aside by our country to honor all those military personnel, soldiers, airmen, sailors, Marines, and other civilians who gave their life for the price of our physical freedom here in this country and around the world. But of all people, Jesus was the one who paid the ultimate price for our eternal freedom. May we not forget His price that He paid. You see, our military personnel, they risk their lives, and some give all that they have. They give their life for our freedom here in this country. But Jesus gave His life for the whole world. Today, we will examine a record in biblical history where a loved one's remains were honored. My first point this morning, a proper burial site. A proper burial site, and we see that in verses 1 through 9. According to Joshua Mark of the Ancient History Encyclopedia, burial of the dead is the act of placing the corpse of a dead person in a tomb constructed for that person or in a grave dug into the earth. Even though burial practices were in place long before Abraham, this is the first written account where a proper place was discussed in the Bible. Abraham wanted to know that his wife's remains would be respected. That is the whole reason, really, that we bury someone and or we put them in a tomb, whatever the case may be, and throughout all of our history of the world, is so that it gives closure to the family members to know that their loved ones' remains are well respected. But the thing about all this I want you to understand this morning is that we are all going to die. We are all going to die. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 declares unto us, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." There's been people throughout history that thought they were going to cheat death. You might be able to prolong your life, but you were going to die one day. As the Bible declares, it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, a judgment. And we're all going to face judgment one day too. No matter who you are. You're all going to die. I'm going to die. And what you've decided in this life, if you're saved or if you're lost, will determine where you go when you die. But even the saved and the lost will have to face judgment. One will be at the great white throne judgment, and the other one's at the judgment seat of Christ. But it's still judgment nonetheless. We'll all have to do that. Romans 6:23 declares unto us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The reason we all have to die is because of sin. That's the price. However, you can escape the spiritual death by receiving the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But why choose a proper burial site? Why even do that? Well, first of all, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19 declares unto us, this is God telling Adam what's going to happen to Adam's life after he had sinned against God. He said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." When God created man, He formed him out of the dust of the ground. And then it says in the beginning that God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But after Adam sinned against God, God told Adam, "Listen, you're not going to be able just to go out and get the food anymore. You're going to have to work for it." Thank you, Adam. Man, you were just so helpful for us. It's not going to be served to us like it used to be. We got to go out and work for it. I mean, really labor over it. And on top of that, you're going to die, Adam. And when you die, you're going to go back to dust. You see, because we are all going to die one day, a natural decaying process will ensue. There needs to be a place where the stench does not get out and in the open. Emergency responders will tell you that is one smell you'll never forget. Someone who's been dead a little while, they never forget that smell. It's a horrible smell. So a proper burial site is to kind of conceal that smell. The other thing is that there needs to be a place where thieves and animals do not touch the body out of respect. Our national cemeteries are properly maintained out of respect for the deceased. When you go, if you ever get a chance to go to a national cemetery, it's very well kept. Very, very, very well kept. And I know there's some local cemeteries and city cemeteries that are well kept, but nothing like the national cemeteries. Everything is just properly in order, in the right place, out of respect for the honored dead. Just this past weekend, as they do every year, the honor guard, stationed on the National Cemetery, we're placing out flags for all of the military graves there. It's a very humbling sight if you ever get to go to one of those places. It will humble you. It reminds you of just how frail human life is and how really we take for granted the freedom that we have here in this country. But we're going to go back to the dust one day because that's what happens when someone dies, then the decaying process. But there is closure and comfort in knowing that your loved one is, their remains are being respected. I really do feel sorry, and my heart goes out to loved ones whose family members were, their remains were desecrated in some type of accident. There was, here a few years ago, former natives of El Dorado, Dr. Gene Wise was an ENT for many years here. He and his wife, Mary, they had two sons, and they both went to Westside Christian School. I got to know a little bit about them through the years because his wife, Mary, and I went to college for a period of time. And one of their sons, Jeremy, was in special ops. And he was stationed at this specific post in Afghanistan. And he was blown to kingdom come. But it was because he recognized that there was a suicide bomber there and he protected everybody in the area by taking the guy out. But there was nothing of him that was left. And his mother and father were good Christian people and there was no closure for them, but they knew where he was. Because he trusted in Jesus a long time ago. And that brought them comfort. But there was no physical closure for them to see. And that bothered them. And of course, he was highly decorated and awarded for that. Well, a few years later, their other son was also killed in action. They lost both their children to war. And it's so sad to think about situations like that. But the greatest comfort that anybody can have is knowing that their loved one knew Jesus. And there, in His presence today. Speaking of a proper burial site, even Jesus was given a proper burial site, even though He didn't need it that long. He really didn't. But He was given a proper burial site. Remember, He was considered a criminal in the Romans' eyes, really, and more so in the Jews' eyes and their law. But out of respect, there was Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus. He was a rich man, and he had prepared the tomb for his family. He said, I want Jesus to be buried in that. He deserves that. This is just something respectful we do for our loved ones. And Abraham was no different. when his wife Sarah died, who's 127 years old, he knew that there needs to be a proper burial site for his wife, and then also for his family as well. Remember, he had just come into the land of Canaan just a few years before this. He was still establishing this place there, and there were still inhabitants of the land, Canaanites. And he was living peacefully with them at the time. And he needed a place so he could find for not only his wife, but for himself and future relatives. My next point this morning, a purchased burial site. A purchased burial site, verses 10 through 18. Abraham would not accept the burial site as a free gift. When he went before the sons of Heth, he told them that he would like to buy a plot, a burial plot, pretty much. And they said he was such good friends and good acquaintances with the sons of Heth. They said, "Listen, Abraham, you can have any spot that we have. You can have it." Well, Abraham had already been on a few places, and he says, "I want that certain field and cave down at this place over here. And it belonged to Ephron." Ephron stuff and said, "You can have it for free. Just take it. It's yours." Now, what is so interesting, more than likely, Ephron had prepared that cave for his own family and those that field out there for them. Now, remember, in those days, they would probably put the remains in the cave, let it to rot, and then take the bones and bury them. Now, all that spot was prepared for him and his family, and it was already ready to go. And he says, "Abraham, I want that one." So I'm like, that's pretty greedy, isn't it? But don't forget, Abraham was a very rich man, too. He was. We often think of Abraham as some Bedouin who didn't have very much. But actually, he was a very successful businessman. He owned lots of caravans, and my goodness, he was very, very rich for his time. So he knew he could afford whatever the price they quoted. But he refused to accept the burial site as a free gift. He could have. He very much could have said, "Okay, that's very generous of you to give me that you've worked so hard to prepare and place out for you and your family. That is so nice." But he wanted the people to know that he would pay whatever it was worth. Also, this would secure future burials here for his family, and this would ensure the gift couldn't be taken away from future descendants of Ephron. You see, here's the thing. Abraham couldn't see the future, neither could Ephron. But what was going to happen is that in future years to come, the Israelites were going to be enemies with everybody else around them. And some of those old Hittites, they didn't like those old Hebrew people. They could have said, "That does not belong to you." Abraham was wise in his dealings. He said, "I'm going to pay whatever it's worth. That way it can truly be mine. That people know it's a fair deal." And that's another thing they could have said too. "Oh, that was not fair what Abraham did back in those days. That wasn't fair. That wasn't right. That's not yours anymore. We have rightful claim to it because it's our land." But Abraham made this fair and square right here and there. Abraham purchased a lot for 400 shekels of silver. If you don't know how much that is, back in those days, for what he paid for it, that whole lot would have been worth about $112. Now, some of you say, "That's pretty cheap. You can't even find some burial plots, just one, for that cheap anymore." But that was a lot of money back then. If you can't, whatever the factor is for inflation from now until then, that would have been worth a whole lot more in today's money. He's not only buying a cave, but he's buying this whole field to go along with it. By the way, no one likes to purchase burial plots. There hadn't been anybody yet that likes to purchase them. Why? Because someone once said, "A cemetery is the worst piece of real estate in the world." And that is the truth. Why? Because you're not going to turn around and make any money off of it if you buy it. With real estate, you hope to, okay, I'm going to buy this piece of property or whatever, if there's land or if it's land in a building, land in a house, whatever the case may be, and you invest money into it and you live there, you work there, whatever the case may be, and if for some reason one day you want to turn around and sell it to somebody, you have what's called equity. You have money built up. It's yours. That doesn't work in a cemetery, y'all. It doesn't. Because once someone's buried there, that's pretty much it. That's it. Also, it is, as often people say, it's some of the saddest pieces of property in the world. Some people don't have to purchase them, but most people have to buy burial plots. Some people are wise and do that before they pass away, and let them know that their loved ones will not have to worry about that. To secure a burial site in your lifetime is actually a smart move. But however, I've heard some people say, well, I'm just going to wait till Jesus comes back. I don't worry about that. Well, you know, that sounds good. He could come back today. But it is a smart move to make. Because if you get raptured out, you ain't got any more money at that point regardless. But really and truly, as sad as a cemetery is today, one day it'll be a great victory site for God's people. When Christ comes back, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Remember what Paul said? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, I don't know if it's going to happen this way, because it's going to happen the twinkling of an eye, but I just wonder, just for a split second or millisecond, whatever it is in that time of rapture, that we turn around and say, O grave, where is thy victory? All them graves bursting open when Christ returns. It'll be a victory site for God's people. My final point this morning is a prestige burial versus the 19 and 20. Abraham had a funeral for Sarah. A funeral helps with closure for the loved one's family and friends. It also shows our respect for our loved ones. Believe it or not, Jesus did not actually get a funeral. Because remember, they had to hurry up and bury him before the sun set, because it was soon to start the holy day. And they would come back and they would mourn at Jesus' grave, trying to find closure. But if you remember, when they went back the third day, he wasn't there anymore. I took away that closure. We don't know that he's there anymore. And oh my goodness, what are we going to do? And then when they finally realized that Jesus was alive, oh man, who needs closure anymore? Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. There's great comfort in knowing that our loved ones are resting peacefully, but especially with the Lord. But the greatest comfort I have is that one day when I leave this old sorry and horrible and sinful, ungodly world behind, I get to be with Jesus. And I also get to be with my loved ones that knew Jesus. Speaking of funerals, every time Memorial Day comes around now, I think of a military funeral. When someone dies in the military, or even when a veteran dies who retired from the military, they are buried with full military rights. The full military rights means an honor guard, the folding of the flag, a 21-gun salute, and the playing of taps. A veteran who just served for just a few years may receive partial rights. I've been to a few veteran funerals before, and I've been to two that had full rights. But every time they start folding that flag and they play taps, man, it's really hard to not cry. And then when one of those honor guards takes that folded flag and gives it to that loved one and says, on behalf of the President of the United States. Y'all, that means something. I don't care who the president is in office, whether you like him or not. That means something. And on behalf of a grateful nation. That means something too. We try to remember the best things about someone at a funeral and burial. Just this past week, Brother Billy Ray Cook, it was his funeral. And it was a very lighthearted service. It was a good, for what we can call for a funeral. Lots of good memories that were spoken about him and his life. And that's something that, you know, we like to hear about someone. It is so sad. So sad. When I have to go to a funeral, perform a funeral, we're not sure where that loved one went, or even if we did know that they went to hell. That's very hard, I'll be honest, as a preacher to do something like that. Oh, it's easy to preach Jesus. It really is. But they sorrow because they have no hope. There's no hope. I mean, do you really want to go to hell and see your loved one there? Absolutely not. I want to be with Jesus and live with Him forever and eternity. The best thing anyone should be able to say about you and me when we die is that we knew Jesus. That is the best thing that anybody can say about you or me. And if nobody can say that, then you are in no hope at all this morning. The only hope for you is this life alone. That's pretty bad hope. But if you would simply trust and believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior this morning, you'll have hope eternal, and you'll look forward to when that time comes, going on to be with Jesus. I hope you know Him today. I really do. I hope and pray that you know Him so well that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if today were the day that you would have to depart from this life, that you would close your eyes in this life and wake up in the realms of glory. But if you don't have that assurance today, and you don't have that hope, if you're not sure if you're not sure where you're going to go when you leave this life, then you really need to consider Jesus this morning. You need to consider that He died for you. All those military personnel through the years of our country, they died for our freedoms that we have here today. But Jesus died for your eternal freedom. You know the reason why that military personnel keep having to protect our country and die for our country? It's because there's always somebody that's going to threaten it. Now, whether you agree with our war efforts or not is beside the point. You talk to a lot of those guys, and some of them are my good friends. One's a chaplain in the Army, and I talk to him, and he agrees with everybody else. He says, if we don't do something about it, then they will be here. They will be here. But you know what? We keep having to do that. But Jesus only had to do it one time, y'all. He didn't have to keep coming back and dying on the cross. It was so perfect the first time that it was good for all of mankind, past, present, and future. The only way you're going to have that hope today is if you believe and trust and have faith and call upon the One who gave His life for you. And it's as simple as that today. I hope and pray that each and every one of you know Him that way. But if not, I pray that today would be the day of your salvation where you would believe and trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Maybe you're dealing with the loss of a loved one or the loved one who's soon to pass away. If they know Jesus, you've got great comfort today. And let that give you peace. But if they don't know Jesus, I pray that if they're soon to leave this life, that they would somehow, maybe through you or someone else, receive Jesus, a personal Savior. And if your loved one that went on from this life and in the next, and
You don't know if they were saved or lost. I pray that the Lord would give you comfort in your life today by living your life for Jesus and be a soul winner so that others would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus is their personal Savior. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the freedom that we enjoy not only in this country, but more so, Lord, if we're saved, we thank you for that eternal freedom that is secured by you and your Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would move upon the hearts of those who are here today. If they're lost, convict them that they might be saved before it's everlasting too late. And I pray that you would also be with the ones who are saved, that they are struggling with so many things this morning. They lost a loved one here recently, a good friend or a family member, or maybe one of their family members is on death's bed. Comfort them, Lord, as long as you can. And I pray that you would, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you please stand?